Anyway, you didn't answer me. To the surprise of Nanny and of Ridcully, and possibly even of Granny Weatherwax herself, she slipped her arm around Ridcully's arm. "Mr. Ridcully and I are going to have a stroll down to the bridge."
"Oh, we are?" said Ridcully.
"Oh, that's nice. Githa Og, if you keep on looking at me like that, I shall give you a right ding around the ear."
"Oh, sorry, Esme," said Nanny.
"Good.
I expect you want to talk about old times," Nanny volunteered.
"Maybe old times, maybe other times."
The unicorn reached the forest and galloped onwards. The waters of the Lancre gushed below. No one crossed the same water twice, even on a bridge. Ridcully dropped a pebble. It went plunk.
"It all works out," said Granny Weatherwax, "somewhere. Your young wizard knows that. He just puts daft words around it. He'd be quite bright, if only he'd look at what's in front of him."
"He wants to stay here for a while," said Ridcully gloomily. He flicked another pebble into the depths. "Seems fascinated by the stones. I can't say no, can I? The king's all for it. He says other kings have always had fools, so he'll try having a wise man around, just in case that works better."
Granny laughed.
"And there's young Diamander going to be up and about any day now," she said.
"What do you mean?"
"Oh, nothing. That's the thing about the future. It could turn out to be anything. And everything."
She picked up a pebble. It hit the water at the same time as one of Ridcully's own, making a double plunk.
Do you think," said Ridcully, "that somewhere it all went right?"
"Yes. Here."
Granny softened at the sight of his sagging shoulders.
"But there, too," she said.
"What?"
"I mean that somewhere Mustrum Ridcully married Esmeralda Weatherwax and they lived..."
Granny gritted her teeth.
"Lived happily ever after, more or less. As much as anyone does."
"Oh. How do you know?"
"I've been picking up bits of her memories. She seemed happy enough, and I ain't easily pleased."
"How can you do that?"
"I try to be good at everything I do."
"Did she say anything about..."
"She didn't say nothing. She don't know we exist. Don't ask questions. It's enough to know that everything happens somewhere, isn't it?"
Ridcully tried to grin.
"Is that the best you can tell me?" he said.
"It's the best there is. Or the next best thing."
Where does it end? When Howell, the playwright, turned up with the rest of the troupe next day, they told him all about it, and he wrote it down. But he left out all the bits that wouldn't fit on a stage, or were too expensive, or which he didn't believe. In any case, he called it The Taming of the Vole, because no one would be interested in a play called Things That Happened on a Midsummer Night. On a summer night, with couples going their own ways, and silky purple twilight growing between the trees. From the castle, long after the celebrations had ended, faint laughter and the ringing of little silver bells. And from the empty hillside, only the silence of the elves.
That is The End of Lords and Ladies by Terry Pratchett, and it was read by Nigel Planer.